We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ready to optimize your nutrition this year? Factor has chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. So you can feel right and feel great, no matter what life throws at you. Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared, perfect for any active, busy lifestyle. Lose up to 8 pounds in 8 weeks with Factor Keto meals. Based on a randomized, controlled clinical trial with Factor Keto, results will vary depending on diet and exercise. With 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. Choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto. Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfasts, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. Reach your goals this year with ingredients you can trust and convenience that can't be beat. Eat smart with Factor. Get started at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
Welcome, my little Jordan. Welcome.
Yeah.
To Minisode 184. We missed you.
Okay.
No, don't like it.
Welcome. We did miss you, sort of. What'd you boys bring today? What do you got for the news? What's happening in the world? Bring my spirits up. Fill me with
you
some good news.
You want me to bring news from the world to cheer you up?
Obviously, only good things are happening.
How about something from 1993?
I'm joking for the audio people.
Wait, what?
I got something from 1993 because we just did the episode about Ted Serios, the psychic cameraman who could put thought photography.
He prefers photographer?
Sure. Polaroid-a-doid-y-doid.
So do I, honestly.
Yeah. And so that reminded me of this story that's like similar to that. And it started in the 90s, in 1992. In Los Angeles, there was a show called Sightings. And there was this these two guys that lived in this old house in L.A., and they had a camera, and they started to take pictures of ghosts. And I have, if you guys want to do a little scene,
together. Of course I do.
I'm
classically trained.
I've got the two people, John Matkowski and John Huckert sitting here. And it's kind of a long scene, but it's like, it explains it real well. So why don't you, Mathis, be Huckert, okay? Huckert. And Jesse, why don't you be Matkowski? How does that sound?
I'm Tutsoros about Matkowski.
You're Tutsoros? Okay, I'm going to drop this in Twitter.
Tutsoros about Matkowski.
I'm going to put this into Twitter because it's a big boy.
Large lad.
A big boy with you.
Can't I told you, it's a big boy.
Oh my god,
you're not right. You're
very
not right.
Big.
Yeah, hang
it's
on,
a very
hang on.
Big boy.
I'm going to copy paste this into Word so I can read this easier.
My goodness.
I told you, it's a big boy.
It's
I warned
big.
You.
Sometimes boys be too big.
I Sometimes. Warned you.
That did not help at all. Okay, anyway. Up to the top. Come on. There it is. All right. I had gotten my camera from my father for Christmas, and I don't know. I took some pictures with it, and it was cool to have a Polaroid camera, but I didn't really think about it. And then I was sitting in the house one afternoon, it was just an average day, and the bathroom door opened and no one was home. So I sensed that the door was opening by itself. I took the camera and I took a picture. Nothing showed up in the picture, and of course I felt kind of silly at that time. And I just went back to working. And then I remember sensing something, and I looked up, and the bathroom door opened in front of me, and it seemed so demonstrative. Or demonstrative?
Yeah, same word.
So I got up, and I was actually nervous because something just felt like it was there. Something was in the air. Something was in the room with me, tingling kind of sensation. And I started shaking, and I picked up the camera to take a picture. And I actually took a picture of, like, I was shaking so bad, I took a picture of, like, the top of the television set or something. And then I was like, okay, calm down. And then I took another picture, and that's when I got the first photograph of this experience. They're Polaroid photographs, so you basically sit and watch them develop. As it was developing, I just saw this almost stereotypical version of a ghost. It looked so, you know, the eyes, the big eyes and the screaming mouth and the sort of weird, wispy, you know, quality of it floating in the air. It's like going boo or something at you. And I remember like being really nervous about it. And then suddenly I thought, you know, this is my dad messed with this camera or something. That's what this is about. And then I took another picture. I was almost like, it was almost like a similar image, but it was like the thing in the first photograph had moved closer to me. And it was more like it was larger. And then I started getting like nervous again. You know, I just kept going back and forth between incredulous and denial. And then when Matkowski got home, I said, I have something I want to show you. And what do you think about this? And I showed him the pictures.
So he shows me these photos. Oh, Matkowski. Like, wow.
Matkowski.
These are really cool. How did he do this? And I go, how do you do this? And he goes, I just took these pictures. I didn't do it. And I was just, no, you made this up. He says, here, take a picture.
That's fantastic.
That's a real guy.
Voice.
You Hucker, brought that guy to life.
Back to Hucker.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I went over and stood in what is now known as the vortex, but it's the area right in front of the bathroom. And he took the picture of me, and over top of me was this similar type shape. It was like larger and more strange. I felt out of control. Like I didn't know what was happening and I didn't know where to put it in my mind. Then we ran out of film. After like a month of just sort of sitting with these photographs, we decided to go out and get some more film. We just thought, okay, well, here's the moment we find out whether this is real or not. We try to take pictures when we'd sense something or feel something. We kind of describe it as like when you have like goosebumps or like a little bit of sunburn. You kind of sense this tingly thing, and that's when you take the picture. Half the time, we wouldn't get anything, but sometimes we would, and that encouraged us to keep getting more film. This was, what, 3 or 4 months of this? It was too strange, and we were afraid people would think we were nuts, but then it just got too much to not tell anybody about.
I love that Matkowski is just the color commentator.
He's the hype man, dude. He's the hype man.
How do you share this? Why would you? You know, people would think we're insane.
I mean, finally, we decided to invite a bunch of friends over and show them the photographs. We said we had something to tell you guys, and it's a little strange, but we want to share it with you. So we started showing them the pictures, and they're asking, you know, 1,000 questions a mile a minute.
One of our friends, he asked if he's here now, if whatever it was here now. And he says, well, let's take a picture.
Ka-chink.
That's you added the sound
flash.
Effect?
Yeah, that was a long flash now. I think about it.
That's all right.
Snapped a picture and they were all watching it. Someone said, oh my God, I think this is a word.
You can see the word. Yes. And that was the beginning of the communication.
It's one of the things to get like, you know, ectoplasmic, fluffy, white things. And it's another to get communication, like an answer to our question. And then someone grabbed a camera and went, are you a friend or?
Are you a good ghost or a bad ghost?
That's what it was.
The photo came out a single word in the middle of the room. It said, friend. It was clear, not on the photo, in the photo.
In the photo, yeah.
They're actually in the photograph.
They're like in the room, but it's like written in light and clouds and kind of.
Clear letters you could easily read. Like when you ask him his name, you can clearly say it says right, WRIGHT.
So we asked, where do you go when you're not here? And we took a picture and the photograph said flux. So we thought, oh, I guess he's in the flux, whatever that is.
There's one really interesting Polaroid. The question was, are you a ghost or a spirit? Show us what you look like. And his answer was, he says in the Polaroid, not ready. So that was pretty interesting.
When that happened, I was thinking, is he not ready or does he think that we're not ready?
With all the people there, it kind of validated us because we weren't insane and this was happening in front of other people. We're not manipulating the camera or film in any way. It was just...
I think it changed a lot of people on a profound level permanently. I remember for like a week just kind of walking around in a daze going, okay, what is this again? How do I fit into this the way I thought the world worked? We really had never intended to, I guess, go public with it. It was nothing we really thought about. And then there was a new show on TV called Sightings, and John was watching it, and they had this ghost thing on there, and they had a picture of some stuff, and John goes, that's not a ghost picture. This is a ghost picture. So we sent a copy into the sightings people. They called us up, and next thing you know, they want us to do an hour-long satellite live show from the house. After we did the sightings episode, it seemed like suddenly we had offers to do quite a few different shows. They took the camera. They examined the camera. They took it to Polaroid. They examined it. They examined all the photographs. Yeah, through the years, there's been so many theories on how it's being done, how we do it, how we create the ghost images. One of my favorite theories, someone said that how the photographs are done is that there's a little person in the basement. And what happens is when you go ask a question to the air, they type it in a computer and it's projected out through lasers in the house that writes on the photograph instantly. When you start going on about it, it's real easy to just take a pen and write on the back of a Polaroid and it will come through. Has anybody ever tried that? Because if you do, because we tried it, we actually tried it. We took a pen and it leaves marks. And it doesn't look like anything. It looks like someone took a pen and wrote on a Polaroid. I don't know how that theory has gone around and round and round. I appreciate all the things the scientists and the FBI agent and everyone did and the photographic expert to try and disprove it. They even did like voice analysis of us to find out if we were like, it was sort of like a lie detector test kind of thing. He's here for us. He's not here to like exploit.
We're not out to make anybody believe anything. This is what's happening to us.
Pretty much, we stopped all the interviews, especially because there's always backlash to it.
How we're charlatans, and how it can be done, and all this other stuff. And we're just trying to make a buck off this thing. And really, none of that's true. We're not making any money off this thing. It's a personal thing that we just happen to want to share a little bit of.
Yeah, there have been people who say, well, you know, we'll give you $100 if you let us come take a picture at your house. And that's something we would never do because it's not about that.
One of the most meaningful things for me and John, we're struggling writers. And we would get messages that tell us to persevere, to keep going and just continue what we're doing and something good will happen.
As creative people, we faced a lot of self-doubt and it can be crippling. At some point, we ask Wright, should we keep pursuing what we love even if it's hard? And he came back with a photograph. He said, dreams and destiny merge. And we thought, you know, it's not about like being successful at the moment. It's about dreaming things and allowing your destiny to present itself. It changed our perspective. The house is a way of letting you know that it's going to be okay to be, it's okay to be insecure, but to not ever give up.
There's something special happening in my house. And it just makes you feel like small and just insignificant when it comes to the whole world. You know, there's something bigger, something better, something grander.
Yeah, so that's the little scene, and I know you want to see these pictures, so I'm going to give you what there is.
I can't wait to see how on the money I am.
There's not that
many. Oh, I thought you meant of the two guys.
No. Well, there's not that many pictures.
I did want to see the two guys.
There's not that many pictures that you can get, actually. Sorry, I don't know why that posted twice, but these little links here, you can kind of see in the chat. You can kind of see some of the clips that have been around. Now, you got to remember, this is from all the way in the 90s, like early 90s. So and they're Polaroid images, so they're hard to...
Literally just says anything is possible and like...
It's exactly what they said. It's literally what they said. It's like a cloud, wispy clouds, like written, and it's like in the space of the
anything
picture.
Anything is possible.
Is that the only photo that's available?
Well...
No, if you click it takes you to a book.
Oh, I didn't see. Okay.
Yeah, here's a picture of the exhibition, and you can kind of clearly see. One of the guys has a huge mustache, I can tell.
Yeah, you can see that right in the second picture.
Yeah, there's some pictures of the exhibition, but you can't really see the pictures up close in those pictures. And then their website is just ghostpolaroids.com if you want to check them out. I'm sure the pictures are in there. The book is called The Polaroid Ghost and Other True Tales of the Paranormal by Joe Augustine, I guess is what it's called.
I mean, they are failed writers, you know, like, you know, maybe this was their...
Not
their
failed, aim. Struggling writers.
Struggling,
I guess,
sorry.
I guess
like,
there's a
honestly,
show on
like
Netflix.
Most writers are.
Yeah, every writer, fuck, yeah.
I guess there's a show on
That's
Netflix
a fa- It's fascinating.
Surviving
I'd death. Love, like, more... I'd love to see all their photos, like, high definition.
Have you seen that show, Surviving Death, on Netflix?
No.
Apparently it exists.
The link to it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, well, it's still on Netflix as far as I can see. Six episodes.
Maybe that'd be a rotten popcorn at some point.
Yeah, there's one called Seeing Dead People that looks like episode 5 of it looks like it might be the one of that. I'm not sure 100%, but yeah. It looks it's from like the last couple years. But it reminded me of it just because it's just the same. It's the same thing. It's like magic pictures.
Who did you get a full performance?
Yeah, you guys are so
such high quality acting in this bonus episode.
Matt Kowski just leapt right off the page for me. It was like really amazing.
Yeah, you crushed it, dude. I believed every word.
Thank you. I tried. I really did.
What do you have for us today, Jesse?
Oh, gentlemen. Robot controlled by human brain.
Okay. Okay. I'm here for that.
Okay.
Tell me more.
A humanoid robot has a mind of its own. Researchers at the Tianjin University in China have created a robot that is controlled by human brain cells and a first-of-its-kind breakthrough in biocomputation. It is a hybrid of human-robot intelligence. Gentlemen, I'm going to send you this image so you can see exactly what he looks like.
Is it tight as hell? Oh, shit. Okay, let's see.
He looks like a toy.
Wow. Okay. So is that a brain?
Like, I buy this guy at Target for $50.
Is that a brain?
That is a. I'll explain. It's a pseudo brain.
It looks like Osimo for the record. For the record, it looks like Osimo, like the Honda bot.
It does.
Except instead of Osimo, there's like a fish tank on his head, and in that fish tank is what looks like a boiled, peeled potato.
No, you know who he looks like? Exactly like Astrobot.
He does have a little Astrobot.
Literally,
but again,
he's got the blue. He's got the same
petri dish for a head, and then
the back of his head, he's got like some brain thing.
Yeah, he's got like a whole. There's a whole thing going on there.
You said it's a
stem
cell brain.
Destined to become part of what now?
You said it's a stem cell brain.
Yes. So stem cells that were destined to become part of the human brain were developed for this action figure esque robot, as the article in the New York Post says.
He really
does.
When
paired with an electrode in the computer chip, it's able to encode and decode. It has a bunch of tasks that it can do. Basically, they've created this brain that can track targets, avoid obstacles, and manage its arms to grasp onto things. It doesn't have eyes and can only respond to electrical signals and sensory signals.
It doesn't
the
have eyes.
Big
is
thing
like...
that they want to stress that it is not actually a brain. It's just a cosmetic representation, and it is not actually the actual tissue. The tissue is inside of it.
It's cosmetic. But it's made of stem cells?
No, so the stem cells are inside the cosmetic thing that kind of looks like a brain.
So they just made like a jello brain and stuck some stem cells inside it, like
pretty
a
much,
flash drive
which is,
yeah. shape
a weird,
of...
Pretty much, a weird take.
And an old wire just shoved into the center of it.
Weird.
Yeah.
But man, that is...
But the thing that they think is really interesting is that the biggest potential could be for repairing human brains and those who have brain damage or brain failure things... And maybe using some neurological healing techniques from this. Organoid transplants is what they're calling them. And it's a possibility for the future. It is apparently, it says here, it builds on the dedicated research of Neuralink. So I guess it in some way
that's
Musk related.
Yeah, Musk's company, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
But it might not be. It says it builds on the work. So potentially... Research papers released by Neuralink could be what helped get this further along.
Gotcha.
I don't know. But that's the thing now. There's a brain. There's a brain robot, which, I'll be honest, kind of awesome.
I got more robot stuff for you, actually, because there's also now a smiling robot face made from living human cells. I'm going to give you the picture.
By the way, I hate it. I hate this.
Smiling
robot
face made of living cells.
You haven't seen that yet, Alex? There you go. There's a link for you.
Alex, it literally looks like one of those smiling potato, you know, like the little french fry things that look like a little smiley face?
Yeah. Like literally
like... It looks exactly like that.
Fuck me.
yeah, that's the image right there.
It looks like the back of Thomas the Tank Engine's face. It looks like somebody...
Have you seen it move?
Yeah.
You know, like somebody took like Face Off. Like it's, somebody.
Yeah,
took
watching
Thomas
it move
Tank
makes me want to die inside.
And just
that little movement, video.
They have like pistons that make it smile. It's so crazy, dude.
I don't like it.
It's
I hate
wild
it. So yeah,
looking.
This is smiling a smiling face made from living
robot.
Human
oh,
skin could one day be attached to a humanoid robot, allowing machines to emote and communicate in a more lifelike way, say researchers. Its wrinkles could also prove useful for cosmetic industry. The living tissue is a cultured mix of human cells grown in a collagen scaffold and placed on top of a 3D printed resin base. Unlike previous similar experiments, the skin also contains the equivalent of the ligaments that in humans and other animals are buried in the layer of tissue beneath the skin, holding it in place and giving it incredible strength and flexibility. Michio Kawai at Harvard University and his colleagues call these ligaments equivalents, quote, perforation-type anchors, because they were created by perforating the robot's resin base and allowing tiny V-shaped cavities to fill with living tissue. This, in turn, helps the robot helps the robot skin stay in place. They put the skin on the robot smiling robot face a few centimeters wide, which is moved by rods connected to the base. It was also attached to a similarly sized 3D shape in the form of a human head. See below. Did you see this picture, Jesse?
It looks like Cookie Puss.
Is it the one? I think it's the one where I saw it moving, I think.
It looks like
not the
literally
smiling,
like
moving face.
Puss.
No. Because they also put it on a head. Here you go.
They put it on a head, he said. They put it on a head.
Oh, I hate it. It's awful. You know what's messed up, though? I realized one thing about this.
The eyes are
fucking... They are made... This is like skin. This is
real human skin, yes.
This
I don't
is
like
real
it.
Skin. They've crafted
like
real human skin for
this
robots,
is Fallout
right?
4.
And I want you to understand, we exist in a world where people are scarred and burned and doused with terrible substances that like truly mess them up. This should be, look at these amazing things we did to help humans recover. No, dude, this is pure, we're going to make porn bots. We're
going
to make sex bots and they have to feel like humans.
Yo,
this
but
is
listen,
the first
though,
step. It's
the,
happening.
The funding from that. We'll go into funding scientific research.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like,
but this
we
is 100% we're making sex bots.
Listen, you
I've
make
never
it about
been more
boning?
Convinced in my entire life.
Agreed. Quote, as the development of AI technology and other advancements expand the roles required of robots, the functions required of robot skin are also beginning
yeah,
to change.
Yeah.
The functions required of robot skin.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't need skin to lift things or to, like, sort things.
This
just
hurts.
Saying.
This hurts.
that would be awful. The work could also have surprising benefits for the cosmetics industry. In an experiment, the researchers made the small robot face smile for 1 month, finding they could replicate the formation of expression wrinkles in the skin. Quote, being able to recreate wrinkle formation on a palm-sized laboratory chip can simultaneously be used to test new cosmetics and skincare products that aim to prevent, delay, or improve wrinkle formation, says Kawai, who performed the work while at the University of Tokyo.
So gross.
The lack of sensing functions and the absence of blood vessels to supply nutrients and moisture means it cannot survive long in the air, he says. To address these issues, incorporating neural mechanisms and perfusion channels into the skin tissues is the current challenge. And that's it. There you go. Yay.
Yep.
Robot brain, robot yep. skin. Synthetics are on the way.
Disgusting.
Well before Fallout 4 happens.
Good Lord. What's his name? Max Valentine?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
that's exactly who I was thinking of. Yeah. Yeah. The eyes, dude. The eyes. They persist.
It
fucking
looks
creepy.
Like, it looks like the serial killer from that did plastic surgery from Nip Tuck. Is that what that show was? I can't remember what show it was. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all.
On that, we'll see you next week. Thank you guys so much for being here, for supporting us. And just be nice to the AIs that you talk to because
they're coming.
They could be walking in your front door.
Yeah,
with
they could be around right now, dude.
Literally, they could be around right now.
Get
okay,
wrinkly.
On that, bye.
Bye.
We're Ted Sarahs.
We're Ted Sarahs.
We're Ted Sarahs.
We're Ted Sarahs. Okay?